Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future he will honour Galilee as the nations by way of sea beyond Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning and will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne, and his kingdom establishing and upholding it with a justice and righteousness from that time and from evermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Remember, the prophets got these little inklings of what was coming, of the Messiah that was about to appear. And after 400 years of silence, they spoke into the world, the time of Messiah has come. Kath's going to come and read to us now from Philippians chapter 4.
Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
We had our first Christmas card this week, except it was for the next door neighbour. We're still waiting. But one of the things that you find at Christmas is a lot of Christmas cards have the word peace on them. And sometimes you have messages inside that say, may the peace of Christmas be with you, or may the Prince of Peace bless you, or may you have peace at Christmas written in the card itself. The Bible has much to say about peace. Jesus is the gift of peace. John 14, verse 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Paul says, peace comes from God. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace through God, with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. He also said the kingdom of God was righteousness, peace, and joy, and tells us to pursue peace. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. And of course, one of the greatest beatitudes says, blessed are the peacemakers. Many people have desired peace. Many have achieved what is known as world peace. People like Alexander and Caesar said that they had peace when they had conquered the lands around them. The United Nations works for peace on a global scale. But only Jesus can give us peace that the world doesn't know or understand. A different kind of peace. As I said, there are many definitions of peace. Martin Luther King said, "Peace is not merely the absence of war, but the presence of justice, of law, of order, in short, of government." Peace can be the absence of war and trouble. Peace can be the absence of desire, abstinence. If you do not want or crave anything, then you will be at peace, so certain people will say. Some people say that peace comes from emotional detachment. Here's one of them. He wasn't invented with the Spock, though, the idea of emotional detachment bringing peace. It came with the Stoics in Roman times. The idea being that if there was no emotion, then you had peace. Or to rise above dependence upon others and God by money and power, to be insulated from anyone else. If you have a big home that nobody can get into, if you have guard rails around your home, if you have the castle that you have always wanted, if you achieve this level of contentment, then you will have peace. Eastern philosophy says that if you empty yourself of everything, then you will have peace. The Hebrew writers of the Old Testament saw it very differently. Shalom, peace, was and is the common greeting in Israel. You would greet one another with the words, Shalom. And that means, peace be upon you. May you have wholeness. May you have completeness. And it is a lovely greeting. On a Sunday, or a Saturday for the Jews, it would be Shalom Shabbat. May you have the peace of the Sabbath. Peace was seen as something positive and beneficial, life enriching. Again, the word completeness. Everything that combines for a person's well-being. Not passive endorsement, but active. Not just absence of hostilities, but a positive experience of peace. We're to seek the best for our fellow men, for those we love, and also for our enemies. Jesus said in Matthew 5 in the parable of Sermon on the Mount, "You have heard it was said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you to take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." He also went on to say, "You have heard it said it was love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that they may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." So it's to love our neighbours, to wish shalom upon them. As individuals, we must care enough to want to bring peace, shalom peace, to our neighbours. To seek to bring everything that is worth it to individuals. And it costs. It means giving more. Loving more. Taking what other people can sometimes throw at you and say, that's okay. You see, when Jesus talked about being struck on the cheek, he wasn't talking about a slap like that, but a backhand slap. A horrible, horrible way of hitting somebody, not with a full hand slap, but a backhand slap, as if to say, you are not even important to me. And Jesus said we must love people even when they do that to us. To make the world a better place to live, for others to live in, is to forgive others when they have hurt us, to bring shalom, peace, into their lives. So we are to bring peace bringers. We are to be peace bringers. Not just peace lovers. Many of us would say, oh, I'll do anything for a quiet life. But peacemakers, it's an active word. Not just anything to avoid conflict. Now, I'm sure we can think of people who would do anything to avoid conflict. People who can be very timid, very quiet, and say, well, I don't want an argument. I know I can be like that too. But this is more than that. It's about seeking understanding to construct peace between man and man, nation against nation, neighbor against neighbor, workmate against workmate. There's always those type of people that seem to be in the center of an argument, isn't there? If they haven't started one, then they're soon in the center of an argument. Or the type that's so intense that as soon as they enter a room, everyone is on edge. Some are even a carer. C.S. Lewis once wrote, he said he knew of a woman that cared so very much about people, and you could always tell the people she cared about by the hunted look on their faces. We're to be the opposite, to be peace bringers, because we trust and care for those of our future that hold every difficulty and peace with certainty. Remember the story of Christ on the boat with disciples in the storm. They were panic stricken, and Jesus stood up and said what? He said, peace, be still. He brought peace into the situation. But to return to those who will do anything to avoid conflict, this is not being a peacemaker. Where there are problems, Christians are to be involved nationally, locally and personally, not just sitting quietly tutting, but actually involved. Personally seeing a problem and facing it. I can think of a married couple that I knew that never argued, but the tension in the house was incredible. It was like static electricity. It wasn't peaceful, it was avoided problems that were never addressed. They had to argue, learn to argue in order to bring peace. And peacemaking can be painful, noisy and messy. But it is good and it is right. And then lastly, we must be peacemakers between man and God. Ultimately, the best kind of peacemaking is between man and God. The Bible describes man being at war with God, enemies with him when we are not Christians. Colossians 1 verse 21 says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. That describes a situation where we were not at peace with God. And it says, before you became a Christian, that's what you were like with God. You were enemies of God. You were always criticizing him or searching for him or blaming him. And Jesus says that when we become Christians, we find peace because we find peace with God. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace who stepped in. I'm really grateful to Janet and Steve for the decorations this year because it puts the cross at the center of what Christmas is about. The Christmas tree is there, and it's right that it is. But the cross is at the center of what we're doing at Christmas, and I think that that is wonderful. Because Jesus came and died for our sins that we might have peace with God. And peace is the gift of Christ. Jesus says, my peace I give you. My peace I give you. And this was at the time of the coming to the cross. This was a time when Jesus was facing the cross first head on, and he had peace. Now, that's not to say that there was no trouble in his heart, because his heart was heavy. In Garden of Gethsemane, we see what it was like for him to be scared. But he had peace, because he was at one with the Father. He desired that his disciples possessed it too. And this is a gift to us, peace when we most need it. Times when we are scared. Times when we are lonely. Times when we are afraid, that absolute communion with God available to us by his Holy Spirit, he gifts us with peace at the moment of conversion, and peace assures us of salvation. Peace assures us of victory over death. Peace guides us in the very decisions of life. Peace destroys doubt and chaos, because it is a gift we do not experience, as it is a gift we often do not experience as we should. Sin and disobedience stifle peace. So when we get angry, when we're dishonest, when we lie, when we steal, when we're immoral, then we lose that peace that comes from God. So I want to say, just in conclusion, that we need to enjoy the peace of God. We need to accept it as a free gift of God, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as he seeks to eliminate robbers of peace. We submit to his leadership and follow the Prince of Peace. John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives." Let us pray. I want to thank you, Father, that you give us peace in our hearts at times of trouble. I want to thank you that in the face of death, sickness, unrest, difficulty, being scared, your peace can come into our hearts and overrule those things that would destroy our relationship with you and help us to rely on you. We thank you for the peace that comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen.